Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Presented by Four Winds Casino and brought to you in part by Nancy's Pizza and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome into the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. Show is also sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and Nancy's Pizza. How you doing tonight, Chief?
I was warned about this microphone. I broke it within 30 seconds, so I got to hold it the rest of the show, so typing with one hand if we got to look stuff up. But I'm doing great other than that, other than being a buffoon and breaking things that they told me would break.
Adam Abdallah said, hey, be careful with that mic.
Mm-hmm.
Be gentle. I heard they had an issue with it with crosstalk with a Waddle and Peggy, and it lasted.
I broke it.
20 seconds.
Yeah. Does it sound all right? Okay.
You sound fantastic.
All right. Great. Well, that's all that matters.
Our hockey team that we we're passionate about, the Chicago Blackhawks, are 25 games in.
Good sample size.
Pretty good sample size. The old saying, and I think you brought it up last week, was the teams that are in playoff position at Thanksgiving usually make the playoffs 77%+ of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks aren't in that position. They are in last position. The fewest points in the National Hockey League.
Correct.
So, and I know, like, to those that are not watching this team on a regular basis, you, like, we did the pre and the post game from Theory in River North yesterday. And I said, if you were in this bar casually looking at the Hawks game and watching Monday Night Football, and you'd say 4-1 the final, they got smoked. I could argue that they played some of their best hockey.
That second period was their best period of the year, and they got no goals. But they dominated. That's not easy. It's like,
I know.
It's funny to say.
And we sound like those guys, right?
Yeah.
And I know you're not. You're not a shill or anything.
No, I'm basically banned by the organization, so definitely not a chill. But
I work at the United game. Center. They took down the Ryan Brandel picture down.
Yeah. Oh,
said,
really?
Yeah, you're no longer on the no-fly zone.
Okay, all right.
But you're on this other area.
Secret probation.
Yeah, double secret.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you this. Is this team, even though they have the least amount of points in the National Hockey League, are they better than they were a year ago at this time? And where is your thought on where the rebuild is at?
I think they look better. Like, I watched that Columbus game over the weekend. It was Sunday. Same thing. All I care about, I want to see Bedard attacking. He has looked much better since the last time we did this show.
Yes.
More confident, more dynamic attacking, and the points have followed. And even if they didn't follow, say some of those shots went off the crossbar or whatever, I don't care. It's the process. He's doing things the right way as far as I can tell. So I like to see that. Is the team overall better than last year? I think they're about the same, which in a way is worse. Because you did try to take that step forward, and it just hasn't materialized. And again, amateur eyes on this, but I was saying to you pre-show, they look more structured defensively. They're playing that 1-2-2, so it's not like this onslaught coming in transition where Seth Jones, that's probably the weakest part of his game. But then you're sacrificing it going the other way, and it's like it's half measures on offense and defense, and it's just not working.
Yeah.
And so the structure, it's better in some ways, it's worse than others. And I think in terms of where the rebuild is, it's hard to say because the only guys that are going to be here when they're good again for sure are Vlasic and Bedard. And you would hope Teravainen and Bertuzzi, but they haven't really been hits on those deals yet either.
Hawks can't score 5-on-5. They've made all their offensive roads on the power play, which that is clearly better than it was
definitely
a year ago.
Yep.
I think the PK is as well.
Yep.
You're right. It's a more structured team, and it is sacrificing offense to be better defensively. We're not seeing 5-1 shellackings like
Correct.
We did on a regular basis a year ago.
Yeah, just 4-1 or 6-3.
Yeah. So, well, the 6-3 loss to Columbus on Sunday.
I don't care. I thought that was a good game.
it was an entertaining game.
It was an entertaining game, and
except for every time the Hawks scored within 2 minutes or so, the Blue Jackets responded.
It's almost like it's a video game glitch or something.
Right.
Like that, like it makes no sense. It's like we're in a simulation. It's like there's a rule written into the NHL algorithm that says that the Blackhawks score, whoever they're playing has to score 90 seconds later.
Last night, Hawks made it a 2-1 game in Toronto. Leafs answered 21 seconds later.
I couldn't even get done celebrating.
You hadn't even tweeted how happy you were.
Correct.
And you looked up and you're like, what? Delete. Is that a replay? No, that's a goal.
Delete that tweet.
The other one so they're in this losing skid of three straight after the big win over Dallas on Thanksgiving Eve, which was impressive. Bedard gets off the schneid, first goal, ending a 12-game goalless drought. And, you know, they end up playing Minnesota. They had a 2-0 lead.
Yeah.
And the margin for error is so slim with this team.
Yeah.
Taylor Hall, he made a risky pass, turned it over in the offensive zone to a team that is really good with odd man rushes. And next thing you know, it's in the back of the net. And then I believe 17 seconds later, 17, good omen for many things in this town with that team, with the Blackhawks. But it wasn't in that case. My issue there was, if Taylor Hall made the costly turnover, everybody else would have to sit on that line. I would have put Dickinson's line out there.
Okay, immediately.
Immediately to stop the bleeding, and sent a message to one of my best players, or former MVP,
certainly the most decorated.
Yeah, the most decorated. That we can't allow that.
Yeah. What point in the game was that again?
Second period?
I kind of think you should just call timeout right there. You know, if this has been such a problem, it's such a bad turnover, you want to make a statement, you want to stop the bleeding, you give up that goal, hey, timeout. Everybody get in here. Don't forget what your jobs are. Play simple, play smart, play hard, up, down, off the ice. And there are little moments. Again, I feel like the Bears always bleed into my brain. Always bleed into my brain.
Are you letting what happened in Detroit affect you?
No.
Because, I mean, to be honest, Luke does not use his timeouts very often.
He doesn't.
He tends to try to use the TV timeouts to his advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But
they give you one, so you should use it.
To call a timeout after the other team scores one goal, that would be unorthodox. I mean, usually Q used to always call, if the other team scores two in a row, maybe three, it's like, all right.
But if you know you have this problem and you have that moment where it's a bad turnover and you're looking like, how do I, you know, kind of put a break on this before it gets out of hand, I don't think it would be unusual. I don't think it's a bad idea, though, either. But
no,
yeah,
I, you know, we got hindsight here. You know, it probably would have helped.
Yeah. Look, if I'm sitting in his shoes, I'm probably not reaching for the timeout right there.
Right.
But looking at it, it's like, hey, like, you kind of know how this team goes. And if you're very disappointed with the play by Hall, right there, bang, timeout.
Next thing you're going to tell me that the Hawks should hire Thomas Brown and
can't be worse.
And help can't their 5-on-5 offense.
Can't be worse. Can't be worse.
Did Bedard break out of the slump, do you think? They released a new every shift. And then if you don't know what that is, the Blackhawks do a Hard Knocks-esque type of behind-the-scenes look at the team.
Yeah, and there's players are mic'd up.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Bedard in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, during his drought, and some open and honest conversation from him, from Kyle Davidson, mic'd up on the ice during the game where teammates are asking him how he's doing. He's like, terrible.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he is an ultra competitor.
Yeah.
And this is really weighing on him. The drought was really weighing on him.
You could tell when he got that goal against Dallas.
Yeah.
That it was a 800-pound gorilla ripped off his back. And he has been playing better for the last week and playing with more confidence. And, you know, there was that great play. I think I saw Charlie Romeliotis. I tweeted it live. Charlie put the highlight out of where he's going in 1-on-3. And most guys, it's like, hey, just put the puck in the corner. I want Bedard trying to make plays and trying to go through guys and get clean entries. And then he, you know, and he had another play in the game. I think this was the Toronto game where he makes a play. They gets a good shot on goal. They get a face off and then draws a penalty. And then those next guys come out and score a goal. That, in my head, I'm giving him an assist for that.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
like, it's
you
all
that.
Linked. So right. Give him an assist. That's a chief assist. I'm inventing a stat. If you have a good play that creates momentum and a face off in the zone, and your next line out scores, you get that's a chief assist. So Bedard got a chief assist.
All right.
Yeah.
That'll help us plus minus a little. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, he gets a plus minus, yes.
So. What should be the Bedard line? First of all, 312-332-3776 is the way to get a hold of us. We're going to talk with Darren Payne coming up at the bottom of the hour. He has been with Connor Bedard every step of the way, literally 10 feet away from him since his rookie year till now. We'll get his thoughts on 98, where this team is at right now. And we're going to find out tomorrow the Four Nations roster are going to be announced. And we'll get into it in our next segment. I didn't think Connor Bedard would make it just because I thought they'd go solely on the production this year. But some of the mocks that I'm looking at and people that are insiders talking to general managers around the league or, you know, Billy Guerin's team or it's Doug Armstrong who handles Team Canada and their group. They're saying that Bedard's at 13th forward.
I think they're getting a call from Gary Bettman.
Okay, is that?
I think so. How can you argue that he's one of the best 13 Canadian forwards in the National Hockey League right now? He's not.
He's tied for 27th among Canadian forwards in scoring with 19 points in 25 games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's tied for 36th in points per game at .76. So, again, if you go by the numbers.
Yeah.
He's
not exactly Bergeron out there defensively.
No, right.
Yeah, and so it's not like they're like, oh, but he brings this to the table defensively or at the dot. Like, he doesn't.
No. But he's on a team that doesn't have a ton of talent. He's playing on the top
line. That's a nice way to put it.
He's facing the best top line or shutdown line from the opposition most nights and the number one D pairing.
Yeah.
So there are some things working against him, but he would admit that this year so far has not gone as well as he had hoped and had gone for most of his rookie year. Yeah. I think we would all say it was, other than his injury, which wasn't his fault, he was called a trophy winner.
Totally. And he came back from that injury. Bubble Bedard was like unstoppable for a while there.
Sure.
So it was almost like that movie Rookie of the Year where the Cubs kid, like Henry Rowengartner, breaks his elbow, comes back throwing 102. That was basically Bedard with the bubble. He turned into a superhuman. So that he had a great stretch coming back. So you look at it, I love Bedard. He's fun to watch when he's going like the way he has last week. I do think that things should be based on merit, and he's on merit. He's not one of Canada's best 13 forwards.
But there are other factors, and we'll get into
that. Well, then
don't
even play this tournament and tell me it's real. Either you're trying to win this tournament and the tournament matters, or it's just a marketing ploy for the league. Which one is it?
It's more a marketing ploy for the league and in turn for the players. This is the players. The NHLPA and the NHL are putting this on, the Four Nations on. This is replacing the ridiculous All-Star game, which 3-on-3, whatever.
Whatever. I do think the skills is fun.
I like the skills. Yeah. I don't mind that at all. But that is to promote the players and to promote the game of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
This is another version of that. Now, you talk to the guys that are going to be on Team Canada, on Sweden, Finland, and USA. They're competitive as hell, and they're going to want to win. So, you know, in theory, it's to publicize the game, the league, the brand, and the players. But when you get to Boston and Montreal, where this tournament will be played, the combatants that are in the arena are trying like hell to beat the other team.
Sure. I'm sure that'll be the case, but I don't know. I want it to be one of my favorite memories ever as a hockey fan was 10 years old, that 1996 World Cup. And Canada and USA were brawling. Kachuk was fighting, I think, maybe Eric Lindros. And it was awesome. And it was all the best players, and it was spectacular. This, where it's like kind of contrived, it's in the middle of the year, we're going to make some selections based on marketing and... Like I,
well, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
We'll debate that. 312-332-3776. Do you think Connor Bedard should be on Team Canada for Four Nations coming up? That'll be announced tomorrow. Also, can we decide on a Bedard line? What is the ideal? We finally saw Bertuzzi up with mm-hmm. him and Taylor Hall last night. What is your perfect or imperfect Bedard line?
Do I have to pick guys from this team?
You have to.
Okay.
You
all
have
right.
to.
All right.
Otherwise, you can wait till Four Nations and see him play with multi all stars. Sure. So we'll see. 312-332-3776. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show, Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app from anywhere.
The Hockey Show. On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Bonanno with 10 goals on the year in the slot now. Here's Connor Bedard in the half wall. Back to Vlasic. Vlasic taking a walk. Lets it go. Deflected. Stopped by Merzlikins. Bonanno plays it over. They score! Bedard on the power play. And the Hawks take a 1-0 lead. Worship from the corner behind the net. Bonanno surrounded. Chipped away. Bedard steals. Flips it back to the blue line. Bertuzzi works the puck to the slot. Here's Bedard again with a shot. Scores! Connor Bedard! Monkey off the back, and the Hawks up 3-0.
Connor Bedard back on the score sheet. That was Rick Ball from CHSN on the call. Ends that 12-game goalless drought against the Dallas Stars. Did you see that win coming, by the way? I mean, how about
them? We joked about it the last show that they have no shot.
Okay. No, and the team, we did a stat board. I can't remember. Sunday, maybe? They all blend together.
Yeah.
And it was their record against teams that are currently in the playoff mix. They were 6-6-2.
Okay.
And they were 2-7-something against teams outside the playoff picture.
Hmm.
I mean, put on your psychology hat on that one. Are you, the old playing up to the opponent, or are you more on your toes to the details and that go into playing a talented team?
I wonder if it's more about the other team than it is about our team.
That's...
And I remember watching one game. I'm trying to... Maybe it was... The Dallas game was here, right?
Or
was
yes.
It, okay. It was here. I was wondering if they had their rookie party the night before. They're in for Thanksgiving weekend. They're in Chicago. Great city.
I do think Dallas played the night before. So
they
think,
might have had
I think
dead legs.
Yes. Yeah. I do believe that was the case.
So, I mean, but look, I like that they're playing well against good teams and doing enough. And like we saw them play well against Toronto last night. Like, they look good.
Yeah.
They look good. They just didn't get the result. And that's what I care about. I don't care if they finish dead last. I just want good habits and be entertained and start to actually build something for next year and beyond.
Just like this is about the development of Caleb Williams this year, and that has not gone swimmingly for obvious reasons. This is about the development of Connor Bedard. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Vlasic take steps forward. Now, again, he's on a different timeline. It's this. He spent, a couple of years in Rockford and
two at BU.
And, I think you're seeing the patience that the franchise showed with him paying off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think every position's different. Every player's different. Like, his skill sets, like, it would have been impossible for that. Remember what he looked like? 6'6", skinny,
gangly,
like baby deer. Okay,
yeah.
It would have been impossible. He had a hard time walking into a college team as a second round pick.
Yeah.
And then he got better and better and better, and then he turned pro, and he struggled in Rockford that first year, as a lot of defensemen do. And now look at him. He's an absolute stud. He is a true, like, cornerstone type piece in my head. So I don't need any of the offense from him. To me, he's like a 6'6 Jalmerson. Like, he's fantastic.
Wow, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
I'll take a 6'6 Jalmerson. Do you think any part of you that would put Alex Vlasic on Team USA for the Four Nations?
I would. And again, I'm looking at the projected roster. So NHL.com had their projected roster came out, I think, yesterday. They had Brock Faber, Adam Fox, Noah Hanifin, Quinn Hughes, Charlie McAvoy, Jacob Slavin, Zach Werenski. All of them awesome players.
Yes.
A handful of them, it's like a surplus of offense.
Right.
Where if you're going up against Team Canada, or any of these teams actually, you're going to want a guy who's breaking up plays, stay-at-home defenseman, making a simple pass, and making life difficult on the other team's top line. Is Brock Faber more likely to do that, or Alex Vlasic? I would say Alex Vlasic, and if Faber's biggest asset is what he brings on the power play and on offense, well, he's not getting on the power play ahead of Adam Fox. He's not getting on ahead of Quinn Hughes. Probably not ahead of Werenski or McAvoy either. Probably not ahead of Hanifin. So if Faber is your seventh defenseman, why not have a guy who can help you defensively? And that would be Vlasic. Now, there might be other guys in that conversation too, but if it were me picking the team and my choice was between Faber and Vlasic, I would go Vlasic. The problem with that is that Garen is the GM, and he's also the GM for Brock Faber.
Yeah. So
if Faber wants to be in it, he will be in it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And he also finished second to Bedard in the Calder Trophy race.
Faber's awesome.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. And so we talked a little bit about it at the top. How much of this is brand and trying to, you know, take the NHL to the next level? Like, because they played Toronto last night, we showed a lot from the Kane-Matthews game.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018 at the United Center. Yeah, with the Selly off.
Yeah,
like, it was great. Hear me now.
Yeah.
I always contend that
it was like a 7-6 final or something. It was
7-6
awesome.
Overtime, yeah. Like five lead changes, mm-hmm. six goal. It was just insane.
It was Kane so had fun. Two. I was in the building for that one.
Matthews had two. And I remember saying, like, if there's a fan that's on the fence about this game, put that game on.
Yeah.
That's the game. And so we talked about how, you know, the league never promoted its players. It was always Wednesday night rivalry hockey, mm-hmm. Red Wings, Blackhawks. Over the last 6-7 years, now it's like Kane versus Bedard. Yeah. Kane's return to the United States. Mm-hmm. Like, they finally have woken up and realized.
Yeah, stars drive the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, with that being said, as the backdrop, is that probably, if Connor makes it, that's the reason why? Team Canada's looking at 2026, saying he's going to be a big part of it, and maybe we're giving him that opportunity to get some experience
mm-hmm.
at that level. He has excelled on the World Championship stage, World Junior Championship stage, to epic proportions. And maybe being surrounded by other greats that see the game, play the game the way he does, may bring the best out of him.
This is like, you want to talk about Sunday scaries for Connor Bedard? Imagine going to that tournament and you're playing with Crosby and McKinnon and McDavid and all these guys, and the tournament's over and you're flying back from Montreal or Boston, and you like get back to practice, and it's like, it's not those guys. Like, that, I don't know. I don't really care if he plays in tournament or not. I don't think he's earned it. And so if he takes 2 weeks off and goes and plays ball hockey in Puerto Vallarta or something like that, Punta Cana, I don't care. So I don't really care if he's in it or not, but it's...
Do you think
there's a benefit, like an actual benefit to him playing in that?
I do. I mean, I just like... He found it necessary with a broken jaw to go to Toronto for the All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
Like, the best want to be with the best. And those that, when the game is their entire life, and at 19,
definitely
the game
is
his entire life, yeah, he wants to be a part of this.
I'm sure he wants to be a part of it. I wonder if you ask Kyle Davidson.
Well,
does he want to be a part of it?
I think he does.
He think that there's a genuine benefit to playing in that?
Yes.
So I'm not sure that there is.
Well, one of my best player, my number one overall pick, is on a stage with the 20 best Canadian players taking on the 20 best U.S. players for the for the Four Nations Gold Cup.
Just call it the Ivan Hlinka. Yeah, call it the Ivan Hlinka, senior Ivan Hlinka. All right, here's another part of this equation. What if he's the 13th forward or whatever, and he goes up to this tournament and he plays 4 minutes a night? Is that worth it? Is that going to be good for his confidence that he's hey, I'm here at the best and I can't crack the lineup
I think if he saw, now 4 minutes is very.
If you're the 13th forward.
Yeah. Well, if he performs.
A shift or two a period, yeah.
If he performs at the level that, you know, we hope, maybe we see his minutes increase.
That would be great. I would love it if that happened.
It's like the ridiculousness of Caitlin Clark not going to the WNBA All-Star game.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane to me.
But they hate her. But she was like a MVP caliber rookie of the year. Like, she was not just rookie of the year. She had like MVP caliber numbers. Where if Bedard was getting 110 points or on pace for it, absolutely. But he's not. So I have a hard time being like, he should be playing over.
But accept this, Chief, for what it is. This is a celebration of the game with the best players trying to elevate the brand. I mean, it's nothing more than that. It's taking your February 12th Wednesday evening and it's adding a little juice to it. You're going to be watching. You're going to be texting your brother.
I watch curling. I will definitely be watching it. I do wish it was eight teams and more like the World Cup we had in the 90s versus the one they tried a few years ago with like the under 23s and whatever.
We're going to talk to Darren Pang on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on the current situation of the Blackhawks. Does he think Bedard has a shot at making the Four Nations Team Canada squad when that's announced tomorrow? So he will join us on the other side. We also have a Four Winds Casino $200 gift card to give away. B caller, let's go with Panger's old number, I think it was 40.
Yep.
Let's go with caller 4. We don't want to make it too hard on CPAC and company. Be caller number 4 at 312-332-3776. You will win a $200 gift card to Four Winds Casino. You must be 21 or older as of today, and you must live in Illinois, Indiana, or Michigan. The Hockey Show is coming back right after this.
The Hockey Show. When you're at home, don't miss Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Nice move. Oh, in front. And it's deflected wide. Bodies flying everywhere. Nets jarred off its supports as crashing into his own goal was Fabro.
And Merzlikins do a little pantomime there.
What a play with one hand on a stick by Maroon. And then he feeds it. Oh my God, what a save. What an unbelievable save here by Merzlikins. He stretches as far as you could possibly stretch there without leaving your loin and your hamstring somewhere in the corner.
Gotta watch your loin. Don't leave it in the corner. That is the one and only Darren Pang with his new partner, Rick Ball, on CHSN, the Chicago Sports Network. It's been awesome to hear those two this year.
I don't know if there's a better tandem in the league now. Like, those two guys are as good as it gets.
Well, there's no better way to bring somebody in than saying something
to
like
pump
that.
Pump his tires like that?
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Darren Robert Pang, did you hear Chief just say it? You
Chief,
and Rick?
You're the best.
Yeah. I mean, I had you guys top two for sure. But I mean, I'll go with number one.
But Chief, for noticing that, we're going to go out and I'm going to buy you one or two.
All right. I'll meet you at the barn or something.
That sounds great.
All right.
Meet anywhere. That All sounds right. lovely. And you got the great Pat Boyle with you. So what an honor for me to be on your show.
Thanks for doing this. You get very few nights off, and I appreciate you joining us on the Hockey Show. You have had the unique position between the benches to watch Connor Bedard from his first NHL game to where we're at right now. Is his development what you expected? and what you've seen from other number one overall picks?
That's a great question, because I think, Pat, the evolution of any player is difficult. I think the first time you're in the league and you put on your gear and you jump on the ice for the first time, and that almost, that naive enthusiasm that you have, everybody has it. It's like you go into the league like you know everything about it. And then you shock the world, and you make all these great plays, and you're like, wow. But as years go on, everybody has a book on you. And, you know, and when they have a book on you, then it's going to be tougher to make that one same play that you used to make. You cut to the right and you go to the glove side while the goalies are watching the same video that you think you're watching against them. The defensemen are pushing you to one side and you think you got them beat. And well, they're experienced. They've been in the league for 10 years. So, you know, I think what I've seen with Connor is that he's become a more tenacious player. Pat, and I think we've seen this. We've shown a lot of replays to support that he's a little more tenacious. He's got more battle to him. I think we've seen a lot more players kind of give it to him that they didn't give it to him in year one. And I think he likes that. And so that's what I really enjoyed about Connor in his second year, is that he's taken some, but he's given it back. And this is what it's going to be like for him.
You talked to him, Panger, the other day against Columbus when he laid out and blocked a shot. I was like, holy jumping. What are we? I was not expecting to see that.
I was like, hey, just take the minus, dude.
Yeah, and instead I asked him, I said, is that the first two-pad stack you've ever done in the NHL? And he said, I had to because I turned the puck over. And I thought that was a great answer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it tells people that he understands exactly what happened in that process. Why did he go down? Well, because he needed to get the puck back, and he was the one that turned it over. So the kid gets it. Like, you know, it's almost so unfair for these young players nowadays. He's on Chicago Magazine. I was at the whatever grocery store I was at the other day. We're checking out, Lynn and I. I'm like, oh man, this kid's all over the place here. and you know, that's great, but it's also it's tough every night to exceed expectations, and I'm sure that's difficult on some nights for him.
Do you think his best position long term is going to be center, or do you see him being pushed off to the wing in an ideal situation? Like, what's best for Connor?
Yeah, it's a good observation. We've seen so many centermen at a young age not play center ice because coaches just are like, okay, well, when we're on the road and they have last change, can our centerman win the faceoff, or are we going to chase it all night? And that's one of the challenges that Connor does have. He's not good on the faceoff dots. So if you lose the faceoff and you're on the road and you're against a really good line, I mean, you're in trouble right off the hop. So, but where do I see him long term? I see him at center ice. I do. I think that through the neutral zone, he wants to carry the puck now. He's not the first young centerman that wants the puck through the neutral zone. Sidney Crosby wants it through the neutral zone. Some centermen, and I've talked to Wayne Gretzky about this a lot, some guys like to get the puck and then move it quickly and then get it back. And I think in my observations listening to Wayne Gretzky, he's often said to me, he goes, I would like Connor to give the puck up a little bit quicker and get it back a little bit quicker so he seems a little bit faster. And it's these are the things that he'll get and understand, but not right now. I mean, he still kind of has a little bit of a junior mentality because, 3 years of junior, and he had the puck on his tape the whole time. You can't blame him for it. It'll just take a little bit of time.
Good old number 40, Darren Pang, joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. You'll see him tomorrow night on the CHSN broadcast. You'll also see him on TNT throughout the season. Interesting dynamic tomorrow night because it's a split feed. The TNT will broadcast the Bruins and the Blackhawks to the rest of the nation. Those of us here in Chicago will be able to watch Panger and Rick Ball. Tomorrow, second intermission, we're going to hear the rosters unveiled for the Four Nations face-off for Team Canada and for the U.S. Do you think we're going to hear Connor Bedard's name called by Team Canada? Because all the mocks that I've looked at recently, they have him as like his their 13th forward. And, you know, obviously the points aren't where he would like them, but he might go for other reasons.
Listen, I think that's been a bit unfair to both Connor and to the viewership, especially in Canada. Every time we turned around, whether it was TSN or whether it was Sportsnet or anybody, mostly in Canada, that they throw him in there. For me, it was unfair because, you know, I know how this process works. I worked closely with a couple of Olympics general managers, and you can only name 13, 7, and 3, or if you want to go 14, 6, and 3, or maybe 2. Anyway, the mathematics work out that is it fair to throw him out there like they did early? No, because I don't think this is just me, and I trust my analytical eye that I don't believe that through the first 2 months of the year that he deserves the spot to be on ahead of a lot of other guys. This is a championship series. This is not a let's develop some players. And so for Connor, if he was a real strong, big, hulking guy that could play on the wing and not at center ice, you'd say, oh, man, he might get there. But he's not a winger. And he's not, as we've seen, winning board battles isn't easy. So for me, I've already got McKinnon on right wing, you know. So if you got Crosby at center with McDavid in the two hole, Braden Point for me might be the most complete centerman in the NHL, and he's in the three hole. Well, honestly, where do you put him? And so if I'm putting McKinnon on the right wing, and so that's the difficulty that we have right here. So it's not, you know. He's evolving, and he will be that player someday. It just may not be, you know, this February. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's not on that team, just because of the fact that there's so many really good, strong, big men that have played, you know, championship games for a lot longer than he has, that deserve a spot more than he does right at this particular point.
I agree. Send him to Cancun instead.
Actually, send me to Cancun instead. That'd be great. Although I did just get an email as we were on the horn that because TNT has the first game in Montreal, Sweden, and Canada, and then they've got games. There's another back-to-back games. I think on the 17th in Montreal. But I'm gonna do one of those games early on, and then I'm gonna probably go to Cancun with my golf club. So that'd be perfect.
Shocker that you're going to have the golf clubs in hand.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Attaboy. I knew you'd say that.
Do you, you know, a lot of questions people come up who not necessarily watching all the games. They're just saying, like, last night, 4-1, they got shellacked in Toronto. Yeah. You guys made a point, and I totally agree with it. It's one of their better efforts of the season. That second period might be their most dominant period of the season. The points aren't there. Is this team better now, today, than it was a year ago at this time?
Yes, they are. Last year, I think this team surprised a lot of really good teams. They won in good buildings. Tampa Bay, Toronto, Colorado. I get that. And I applaud these guys for what they did.
Hawks own the Panthers.
They've been, but they've been in, let's go, I think the last, dude, they've been in 22 of the last, 24 third periods within a goal?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. I mean, that game that they played in Toronto last night was, I thought it was really impressive because there was a game plan early, which, of course, we're on the road, and Pat, we try to relay as much information to you and everybody in the studio, but it's like we're on the, okay, they're talking about this in the meetings. They're talking about getting down low. They're talking about maintaining a real heavy cycle. They think they can exploit Toronto below the goal line. All right. okay, now they're going to do it. Well, man, they were so good the second part of the first, the entire second period, the shot attempts were like 33-6. So I'm like, okay, that's our point of view. Well, after the game, I went down there to the Leafs locker room, and as you know, Pat, I've known Craig Berube for a long time.
Yeah.
And I went down there, I waited for his meetings, and I waited for him, and I said, what do you think, Chief? And he goes, man, were we on our heels. I never thought we could win that hockey game. He goes, give them a lot of credit. That's as good of a game plan as we've seen. I said, Chief, that's a great thing for me to hear, because we're relying on that information.
Yeah.
And not just us on a little bit of a hope plan, but how are they playing against you? And so anyway, he was very, very complimentary, and it wasn't fake, that because Chief's not fake. So so at the end of the day, I thought they played really, really well. So if they can play that way every night and work hard, dig in, stops and starts, that's the only way you're going to win hockey games. And I thought they showed to themselves that they could do that.
Well, they're going to have another Original Six matchup tomorrow night at the Madhouse on Madison. You will be on the call Rick Ball. And they're going to be a tired, somewhat Bruins team as they're going to overtime against the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, I like that right now. There are about 4 minutes left in the game, and Detroit's giving them all they can handle. And this is the 100th year of the Boston Bruins. I'm not sure if any of our fans have seen it, but boy, did they do an excellent job in celebrating the 100th year with that drone and everything going through it, and Bobby Orr and Johnny Busick, and pretty impressive considering the Hawks are going to go through that in the next couple of years.
Yeah, high benchmark for the Hawks.
Yeah, you betcha.
They pull that off, though. That is, when it comes to a celebration.
Nobody does pomp and circumstance better than the Hawks.
The Chelios celebration. Have you ever seen anything like that, Panger? It was a who's who. Oh.
They didn't even need to play a game.
That was the absolute best. I'm so glad. I was supposed to do a TNT game in Carolina, and I begged off it. And I'm so glad I did, because everybody in the world should have seen that game. Mm-hmm. And I believe everybody did. They ended up tuning into it, but only Chelly does it that well. But the Hawks absolutely gave him the total respect that he deserves in how they did it, and how they flew in so many good buddies of his and former teammates. And I was I wish I played with Chelly. I retired in 1990, the same training camp that they ended up trading Chelly for Savvy.
For Savvy, yeah.
So, I never got a chance to play because I retired that year. And by the way, the Bruins just won that game in overtime.
All right. So you just heard it here. Darren Pang breaking.
No way they get two in a row. Bet the Hawks.
Hey, thanks. There you go. Thanks for doing this. Give our best to Lynn, and we'll see you at the United Center tomorrow, Darren.
That sounds great. Have a great night, guys. Glad to be on the show.
Thanks, Panger.
Thanks, Darren. That's Darren Pang, CHSN, TNT. We're back to wrap up the hockey show after this.
The Hockey Show.
Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Wrapping things up here on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Thanks to our sponsors, Chevy Drive, Chicago, and Nancy's Pizza. And to our producer, Kevin Zipak, and Sean Graney, who was helping him out tonight as well. Darren Pang, thanks for dropping by the show. And tomorrow, Hawks and Bruins.
Love it.
6:30 start, Chief.
Love that, too.
Love it.
And that's what I want. If I were made commissioner of the NHL, I want to find a way to get the Blackhawks in the Eastern Conference.
I hate that
we only get these teams twice a year, once at home. It's not right. It's not fair. We're the only Original Six team in the West. Put us in the East with all of the other ones.
Oh, I would love that.
It would be. You can imagine most games start at 6 o'clock. That'd be incredible.
Do you realize they've been to the West Coast 3 times already in 25 games?
I'm sleep deprived watching this team.
So am I. Hey, congratulations to Dan from Lansing. He won the Four Winds Casino $200 gift card giveaway. All right, that's a wrap on the hockey show.